Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Perhaps in the last several months, you have had opportunity to eat out at a restaurant. Now, if you're like me, I've noticed a new practice in restaurants in that when you receive the bill, oftentimes at the bottom of the bill is something they've added called a tip calculator. Perhaps this has also happened when you've paid electronically at a restaurant. The screen is turned around and you have the option to add a 10%, 15%, 20% tip to your total bill. The implication is, initially, at least in my reading, we can't do math anymore. We're not able to figure out our own tip. Or perhaps it is now the understanding that it isn't a settled bill until a tip is added. There's an expectation that there is some sort of tip given. Now that word tip has also had another word attached to it, and that is a gratuity. A gratuity is something, of course, over and above. Gratuity has at its root the word grace or gratitude. Sometimes that word is lengthened to be gratuitous. Sometimes that word has a negative connotation, gratuitous violence or gratuitous sexuality in a film, too much, gone too far. But in a positive sense, gratuity is a sense of over and above the amount expected. It is the gratuitous nature of the landowner that is at the heart of the scandal in our gospel today. What at first feels quite offensive, at least to some of the workers. Here is a story of economics that doesn't quite add up, at least in our world. Now, if you work a certain number of hours, typically you expect that you'll be paid a certain amount. Work more hours, paid more. Work less hours, paid less. Makes sense, right? And if you happen to get a little extra something, there's your gratuity, there's your tip. But in this story, there is a discrepancy in how it is that the payment or compensation has been administered. And so it seems that those who have worked less hours have been given a generous tip. A gratuity that is beyond expectation, at least of the workers who were hired earlier. Now, I don't know about you, but oftentimes in our workplaces, we don't know what it is that our coworkers earn for their salary or hourly income. And maybe that's for the best at times. Perhaps we would quickly judge who's working harder. However, if you've worked in the service industry and perhaps as a server pooled tips, sometimes you perhaps had a moment where you felt like, gee, I certainly worked much harder than someone else, and yet we all got the same cut of the tip jar. It wasn't so long ago that in our news here in Rochester, there was some scandal, maybe, or perhaps unrest around the news of a pay raise in our city leadership. Doesn't that seem like a long ago story right now? In early December, it was announced that our city council here in Rochester had voted to give themselves a raise. You remember, right? Doubling their salary. Now, I'm not sure where you fall in your opinion on this. I will not offer mine, but there were a lot of opinions shared. What is fair for someone who is elected for leadership? What is right and just when it comes to voting for yourself and receiving some kind of increase in your compensation? You see, this story that we hear in the newspaper pokes at something that is always working in us, and that is that sense of fairness. Somehow, when things feel unfair, well, our feathers get a little ruffled too, do they not? And is the story of the newspapers of our city council as scandalous as Jesus' parable today that we hear? Well, maybe on some level, because it pokes again at those places where we want things to be right and fair and just, and that emotion bubbles up in us. But Jesus' story today isn't so much about economics as it is about provision. Here is a story Jesus tells that is about an agreed upon gift by the one who has brought on the workers. Here is a story that the Gospel of Matthew continues to lift up as Jesus tells these parables about a glimpse that we receive of the kingdom of heaven. It isn't so much about the workings of this old world as it is the vision that Jesus wants to give you and me of what that kingdom coming among us might look like, and what the agreed upon promise is of the landowner to provide no matter what. I mean, imagine being hired later in the day and yet promised the same provision. Imagine that you have been sought out even though you felt like you were overlooked and promised to have enough. In the kingdom of heaven, we have a glimpse of that. Might that kingdom come among us? I've had the opportunity to travel to Tanzania, East Africa, 3 times in my life. The first time that I traveled to Tanzania, I was in my early 20s, and I'd only been to Europe in the past. I hadn't done a lot of world traveling. And I remember when I arrived, the first several days having incredible culture shock. It was such a different world. I had no idea as to what it was like to live in Africa. I had seen The Lion King a lot, so I thought maybe it was like that. I was so wrong. What a shock, in fact, to come to a place, a third world country, where things just ran differently. A different sense of time, a different sense of the economy, a different sense of what I took for granted day by day. Well, part of that first trip to Tanzania included a day trip to the base, to the foothills of Mount Kilimanjaro. I remember being really excited about this particular journey that we were going to take, a group of 12 of us. We weren't going to go to the peak of the mountain, that wasn't our ambition, but do a little bit of hiking. Well, it was early in the morning, and we pulled up into the spot where the trailhead was located. And I was shocked to see that there were probably 30, 40 men gathered there. We got out of our vehicles and all of them came around us so welcoming and joyful. It took me a moment to realize that they were hoping that we would hire them for the day as our guides. Well, again, feeling quite overwhelmed by this whole experience, I was grateful for a tour leader who took charge right away and negotiated. There weren't any prices listed as to an hour's work or 2 hours' work. We just talked. He spoke Swahili and worked out a deal, and then we were off on the trail and hiking away with our 2 leaders. Well, I remember what was not only startling about the beginning of the trip, was startling at the end of the journey. When we returned to that same trailhead at dusk in the evening, even though I had only just a few moments that I had seen that crowd of men gathered, I was shocked that likely half of them were still at the trailhead when we returned. They likely had not been hired for the day. I wondered for a moment if there would have been a way we could have had just one more guide, or perhaps negotiated something so one more person could have a day's wage, but I wasn't in charge. And I remember feeling overwhelmed, wondering, what are these men going to do tonight when they return home, having not been hired for the day? How will they provide for their family? Whenever I hear this parable of the workers in the vineyard, I go back to that scene in Africa. I think about those men gathered, some of them chosen, some of them not. And I hear this word from Jesus and this story, and it brings me hope and promise. Because remember the ending of the story. Not only is there a fair wage given to each of the workers, but the landowner actually sought out those who felt lost, who felt overlooked, who were not hired right at the start of the day. And they are so valued that they are given that same amount. So valued, not because they worked extra hard, but because the landowner knew them and wanted to provide for them. Jesus tells the story of how it is that the manager is to go about paying the workers. Remember that twist as well? He calls the manager and says, "Now make sure to pay the last one I hired first, and then the first one last." And so the manager does as he is asked and pays each one of the workers in that unusual order. And what happens? Grumbling. Oh, those first hired are so frustrated, working in the scorching heat all day, irritated by this generous landowner. And the landowner points out right away to them, shuts down that grumbling with a simple word: "Are you jealous because I am generous? Aren't I able to do what I want with what I have?" I think this speaks to me the most in these days, and perhaps to you too. For we are living in incredibly unimaginable, unexpected, almost surreal times. This past week, if you consider all that we have navigated, it's really quite overwhelming, is it not? And perhaps in this past week, you have grumbled a bit. You have felt like things aren't fair. It's not fair that I have to give up something I was looking forward to. It's not fair that I'm scared, that I can't just go about my life like I used to. You have your own list of grumblings. I know I have. And yet, how might this gospel news today bring each of us a sense of provision and promise? For if this kingdom that is to come is one in which we pray for in our Lord's Prayer in just a few moments, if God's kingdom is to come, perhaps it is a reminder to us that we have a God who has promised to provide all that we need from day to day, regardless of how hard we work or whether it's fair or unfair in this world, and frees us then to trust and to live in such a way that we need not be afraid, but we can be ones filled with not only gratitude, but offer gratuity over and above. Not because it is so magnificent to be able to offer that, but because that is where God starts with each of us. Not from a place of earning, but from a place of gracious giving. What we need in this moment and in this time, God will provide. So hear the good news of this day, that in Christ you have all that you need. You are freed from fear and uncertainty. You are able then to love and serve the neighbor. You can trust in God's provisions. And through the grace of the Holy Spirit, even our grumbling can be turned to gratuity. And in the midst of that which we cannot control or fully understand, may we lean all the more into the grace and love of Christ, who offers us the fullness of life, even in the midst of that which we cannot fully understand. May this gracious God, this God who has promised to provide for you, continue to allow you to step forward with hope and trust. Amen.